shot. He scores! And the Ballers win! Helena is no longer undefeated!
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
Y'all smoked it crack!
After almost 2 months, I'm back, baby. Let's go. It's World Hockey Report. Cody Jansen with you. We are hanging out in the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios, beautiful Alberta. Follow me on Twitter at Janner31 underscore. The show is at World Hockey RPT. And you already know it's World Hockey Report, presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts, the official auto parts retailer of Hockey Canada and Team Canada. Wow. New setup. How does it look? Hit us up anytime on Twitter, of course, at World Hockey RPT, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, 12 Ounce Sports, wherever you are watching from. Tons of new things coming up on the show here. We'll get to it. We'll break it all down for you. We'll walk you through the process. We got the audio coming up here in a little bit. You'll hear from Jack Hughes, Jonathan Drouin. We got a big guest on the show as well. And I'm sorry, Adam, you're playing second fiddle today. It's Andrew Alberts, former NHLer. He was also, you know, part of one of the best series of NHL Stanley Cup history. We're going to dive into a little bit of that, some of his career growing up in Minnesota. And yeah, what he's up to nowadays. You always like to catch up with those guys. Connect with us anytime. I'm on there at Janner31. Show's there at World Hockey RPT. You can hop in the chat. So I'm going to try this. Right there's the chat. It'll get anything. YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you're watching from, say good morning, say what's up. If you provide some content to the show, maybe we'll hook you up with a gift card. Yeah, we got a lot of those coming here as well. Local stuff is growing, as is World Hockey Report. But of course, if you're on your way to the rink, Lord Co. Auto Parts are going to ensure you got everything you need for a smooth ride. From bright white headlight replacement bulbs for increased visibility during early morning or late night commutes to battery maintainers that are going to ensure your vehicle starts when the temperature drops. And that it is, too. It's dropping here. I mean, we're hitting like -3 overnight in September. It's a joke. Visit Lord Co. Auto Parts location today for knowledgeable service, quality parts, and accessories. Visit LordCo.com to find a store near you. Now, I'm going to go off script here for a second, just for Lord Co. I'm not going to call out other, you know, auto companies, tire companies, whatever you want to say, but Lord Co., being in Edmonton, has changed everything. When you go there, it's just so much easier. There's no hassle. You can see where everything is. It's clean. The staff are helpful. They're friendly. They'll get you what you need. They're not there to rip you off. And they got a wide selection of everything. It's incredible. It'll change the game. Go to Lord Co. and tell me I'm wrong, because I think you're a liar if that is the case. I got to say it. Sorry, I hate to call you a liar, but that's the case. We are going to dive into so much NHL talk here today. Man, Columbus making some more news. We got a big play-by-play guy calling it a career. A couple of PTOs as well. A couple of injuries. We're going to dive into all of that on World Hockey Report here. But let's start with some comments from a couple days ago. Maybe it was yesterday, actually. It was Jack Hughes, and this was on Sportsnet. Tim and friends, got to give him credit there. He was commenting on Quinn Hughes, the Canucks situation. He had some interesting comments, so listen and let me know what you think.
Yeah, just for me, I think I'm just going to focus on the game, let my playing do the talking, see how the year goes. But, you know, Quinn, he's deserved the money he should get. You know, he's had two pretty good years. I know last year, people were talking about his defense and his dashes. But, you know, when you play on one of the worst teams in the division and in the league, that's bound to happen. So I think he's just waiting now. I know he loves Vancouver and he wants to play there, but the number has to be right. So we'll see when that gets done.
Some interesting comments there. Want to know what you think? Shout out Matt Nafe. He's hopping in the chat already. Big Cody Jansen guy right here. Nafe, we love you. We appreciate you. And we're going to get you on to talk Sens, I'm sure. We can figure that out. Maybe there's a few things to talk about in the Sens. Maybe a guy named Brady Tkachuk still hasn't signed. Is he going to sign? Is he going to hold out for a while? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Brady. Maybe he signs a shorter deal. Because, I mean, if they're going to offer him 8x8, 7x8, whatever, it seems crazy for him not to take that unless he really doesn't want to be in Ottawa. Maybe that's the case. But back to Jack Hughes. This is a little bold. This is a little sharp coming from a guy who's playing on New Jersey to talk about how bad the Vancouver Canucks are. And they are a little bit of a dumpster fire right now. Don't get me wrong. The fact that they don't have Pettersson or Quinn Hughes signed, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the organization, and it makes you think that the future is very dull there. After they go after OEL, after they go after Garland, now their top players don't want to sign, or they're going to hold out? I mean, what happens if Pettersson holds out till December 1st, like Willie Nylander? Are they going to be a playoff team without him for a couple of months? I don't know. It's interesting. Nace chimed in. Of course, join the conversation anytime at World Hockey RPT, also on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, wherever you want. Nace says he'll sign, I think. I think him taking a smaller contract is mostly a bet on himself to get more. More than $8 million, though? More than $8 million. He's not Leon Draisaitl. He's not worth a significant amount more than Nathan MacKinnon. I know MacKinnon signed a team-friendly deal. His points in his last contract were a little bit different, but it's a little rich to think that you're a $9 million player. And don't get me started on Kirill Kaprizov. I think that's a whole nother can of worms that we're not going to dive into. But it's interesting when you hear Jack talk about Vancouver, about being bottom feeders, you know, about being on one of the worst teams. It makes you think, what's Quinn telling Jack? What's their conversations like when they're on the boat in summer? What are they talking about when they're having a beer after the season? Not 21, whatever. Don't just having a water. Don't cancel me yet. It's only day one. But what is Quinn saying about Vancouver? Does he really not want to be there? And if that's the case, does he sign something short term and hope to get moved? Does he just try to get to UFA as quick as possible and then get paid? Be interesting. You see what guys like Seth Jones are signing for nowadays. Haskinen, Cale Makar. I don't think he's up there quite yet with those guys. Maybe a couple of years he will be. Got to fix that defensive play, though. That's one. Hey, another big thing I wanted to get to here in the audio vault was Jonathan Drouin. And this was him talking with TSN about stepping away from the game and his mental health. And obviously, a lot of comments. Anytime you're going to do this in Montreal in the hockey market, they're going to be tough on you. They're ruthless. They don't care for the most part. But it was really good to see some of the community rally around him. I wish more of the players would have spoke out and said, hey, kudos to Drouin for doing what he did. This guy prioritized his mental health over a trip to the Stanley Cup. Not many guys would do that at all. So here's what he had to say to that.
You know, I've had anxiety problems for many years. Insomnia problems that relate to my anxiety. And, you know, that week in Calgary where we played three games, I missed all three of them and wasn't feeling good. That was where, it hit a wall for me and it was time to step away from the game and literally take a step back from everything and kind of enjoy life. And I needed it. It was hard for me to do at that time. And obviously playoffs were coming around. So it was an easy thing to do. And I'm proud of what I'd done and I'm happy I did it. And, I'm 26 years old, so I wanted to do it at that point in my career and feel good for the next years.
That's not even him saying, hey, I'm stepping away, or, you know, I wasn't enjoying hockey. He said, I needed to enjoy life. Life. Way bigger than the game. Way bigger than the game. And so you have to give him credit for what he did there. And I can speak on behalf of myself and I would hope everyone else, when you say you wish for the best for him, you hope he can get everything, you know, figured out, sorted out. And I think end of the day, if you know, this was what's best for him. And actually this is a perfect segment that we are going to talk with Irm about. And we talked with Connor Ingram last year. We'll talk with Adam about it earlier, is guys really prioritizing their mental health to see how important that is to being successful on and off the ice. So to see guys step away, say, hey, I got to work on myself here. I'm not feeling right. And this is only going to spiral out of control. If I don't do something about it, you got to tip your cap there. You really do. And I'm sure Andrew Alberts can speak to that as well. Hey, he is, I got to give him a shout out. He's the director of head protection with Verbero. And this is a company with Andy Sutton. Now we've talked about him before. They're changing the hockey helmet game. We're going to talk with Andrew about that in, you know, 7 minutes or so. We'll get him on the phone here. We'll get him on the show. And we'll dive into some of that stuff after talking about his career, just what he's doing. Because the game's changed. Mental health needs to be a priority. Doesn't matter if you're a superstar, a fifth-line player in the minors, whatever it is, mental health needs to be a priority. Again, I don't know. You can't give enough golf claps to Jonathan Drouin. Real strong what he did. We got to dive into a little bit more NHL news now. Do we want to start with the PTOs? We'll get the PTOs out of the way because those are a little more enjoyable-ish to talk about. Alex Galchenyuk, there's kind of rumblings he might have turned down a PTO offer, at least from Toronto, but he's going back to the desert, the Dirty Dogs, the Coyotes. They've signed Alex Galchenyuk PTO here. I've seen it also called a PTC. That's weird. A professional tryout contract. I get it, but it's a PTO. Stop changing the game. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's a PTO, not a PTC. Smarten up, major networks. Also, Detroit, Bobby Ryan. That's a PTO there. If there's one guy you want to see make a team after a PTO, it's Bobby Ryan. One of the best in the game. Salt of the earth guy. What he has gone through, and we talk about it every year, what that guy's gone through in his life, 99% of the world wouldn't survive it. I mean, he has gone through so much adversity to get where he is. He's dealt with his demons. He's battled through. And man, for Stevie Wynn to give him another shot in the NHL in Detroit, you hope he makes the most of it. You hope he's playing on an NHL roster this year, and I think everyone feels the same damn way about Bobby Ryan. A little bit more touch and go on this next one. Let's go back to Columbus now. And if you remember right, about a week ago, September 13th, I believe it is. I got it somewhere in my notes here, but I can't read. My writing's gotten worse over summer. I can't tell you how bad it is already. But Sylvain Lefebvre, he's the assistant coach there. He got Kent. Wasn't going to take the vaccine. Didn't want to take the vaccine. And they said, all right, you're not going to get vaccinated. You can't coach here. Sorry, bye, out the door. That's fair. If you're not vaccinated, you can't be within 10 feet of the players or whatever it is. How are you supposed to coach? You can't do your job if you don't follow the rules. Just like Alberta right now. Don't get vaccinated. Well, you can't go in the barns. You can have like a proof of rapid test or whatever. The NHL's different. The NHL's not following those rules. They're private business. They're allowed to make their own rules. So Lefebvre, he's out of there. Now you've got Zach Ronaldo. Stirred up some political controversy. Doesn't matter where you stand on the spectrum. Hey, we had an election last night in Canada, I guess. That was fun. That was interesting. I don't think anything changed. I'm not a political expert here. But again, that could have been done in an email. We had an election where nothing changed. Like, thanks for coming out, spending money. I guess, you know, hey, it's great. I mean, Canada's the best country in the world. Everyone gets to express their rights. It's awesome. Seems like it could have been done in an email. I'll stick with that one. Back to Columbus now. Zach Ronaldo signs a two-way deal there in the summer. Decides not to get vaccinated. Says, hey, I don't want to take the vaccine. My body, my choice. Whatever you want to do, call it selfish, call it self-respect. I don't care what side of the spectrum you're on here. Columbus says, all right, well, everyone else is vaccinated. Don't bother coming. Maybe go to the American League, and they'll deal with you there. What happens if the American League team says, you got to be fully vaccinated to play here? I don't know. I mean, it could be the end of his hockey career because he doesn't want to get vaccinated. Not that you want to see it. You don't want to wish it on anyone, but could it be the end of his North American hockey career because of his choice not to get vaccinated? I'd love to know your thoughts as well. Hop in the chat anytime at World Hockey RPT on Twitter. We're also coming to you every 12-ounce sports channel. Go hit us up on the website as well, 12OunceSportsNetwork.com. You can watch on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, wherever you want. I want to know your thoughts on Zach Ronaldo getting told, don't bother coming to camp. Don't bother coming to camp if you're not vaccinated. That's what they told him. That's what John Davidson's told the media. Set the precedent. if they're going to follow through, I guess that's what you got to be held to. Hey, also, after 42 years, I'd be remiss not to mention this as a media person, Jim Houston. He's a retiring play-by-play man with Sportsnet most recently. Adam wants to bring back Bob Cole. I don't think that's going to happen, but maybe we'll pick Adam's brain. Talk about who he'd like to see as a replacement. I know ESPN's picking up the big names. I know TNT's picking up the big names. What is Sportsnet going to do, and TSN, to battle back? They're spending money down there. Turner Sports, they ain't afraid to throw it around. Disney, they're not afraid to chuck around some money. They're bringing in the big names. What is Sportsnet going to do to change the game? I'm not saying Harryan Singh isn't a good play-by-play man. That's the last thing I'm saying here. But you got to compete with the best. And Sportsnet was the best for the longest time. NBC wasn't there. NBC was not there. Doc Emmerich was great. But now Sportsnet, now you're running the risk of being the third fiddle of NHL broadcast with your current lineup. You got some good insiders. You lost Chris Johnson. Now he's going to work for the Toronto Sun. What are they going to do about it? I guess we'll find out. Hey, just Jim Houston again. Great career. He's got some memorable calls. Loved hearing him call some Leafs schemes there. He also had a couple with Vancouver. Some pretty memorable stuff. I don't have anything queued up for a favorite Jim Houston call. Maybe we'll get that later on in the show. But until then, you wish him all the best in retirement. You hope he enjoys it. And we're going to step aside. It's World Hockey Report, presented by Lord Coe Auto Parts. Cody Jansen with you here. Still, get in those thoughts. Get in some questions for Andrew Alberts if you want. Throw them in the conversation. We'll get them through. We got former NHLer Andrew Alberts coming up here. Minnesota kid. Grew up there. Yeah, you know that's coming up. Maybe hop schools. We'll ask him about that next. It's World Hockey Report. Cody Jansen with you back after this.
Just go back.
It's Cody Jansen with your World Hockey Report, presented by Lord Coe Auto Parts. Visit Lord Coe's in-store truck centers at select locations. And in Edmonton, I'm telling you, they got the best service, they got the best products in stock, and you will not be disappointed. Let's head off to the hotline. Now we're in the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios. Get your questions in at World Hockey RPT at 12 Ounce Sports, wherever you are, because we're bringing on former NHLer Andrew Alberts. Now 490 NHL games played, and he's a mini guy, but he's up by Boston right now. Andrew, I want to get into how you started, because you grew up in Minnesota. It's the state of hockey. But if I read it right, you hopped high schools, and that's a pretty big no-no up there. You jumped over from Eden Prairie to Peniel St. Margaret's. What happened? Give us the story.
I did. Hey, thank you guys. First of all, thanks for having me on. But yes, I grew up in the hotbed of hockey, Minnesota there, and jumping high schools is a no-no, as you mentioned there. But I was not the sought-after prospect like most high-end players are at that age, and I was actually playing house hockey at Eden Prairie, the bottom level, bottom of the barrel there, and made the change strictly for school reasons to hop over to Benilde. And, one former coach, famous trainer, Jack Blatherwick, I caught his eye just in the early skates that we had there, and he took me under his wing, and I owe basically my whole career to the development that I had through Jack. So, it's kind of weird to be switching high schools, but you know, I ended up doing it for school reasons, and it turned out to be a great move for hockey as well.
Well, I mean, I won't dive into my own story here, but Benel, they treated guys pretty good. So I'm sure, I mean, you know, you talk about playing house hockey. I'm sure you were not a bad high school hockey player, especially because you go off to the U show after, then you go to Boston College, and what a school. And everyone I've known who goes to Boston College talks about some of those recruiting trips. Can you give me a story or two? Was yours pretty memorable?
Let me see if I can remember. I think it was the night that they clinched the Hockey East playoffs. And so I don't want to say too much of what happened, but all the boys had a good time drinking some adult beverages, in the dorms and just having a good get together with the guys. But BC was awesome to me. Jerry York was great, his whole staff, the players, everything. They set up a real pro environment there to help guys along in their careers.
Let's talk about your welcome to the NHL moment. When were you standing on the ice going, holy shit, I'm in the league right now? Walk me through. What was that for you?
I can remember it clear as day. So it was my first preseason game, and we're playing Toronto. And this is when Eric Lindros was with Toronto. And I get my first shift to go out, and it's our zone, D zone. I'm lined up on the left hash marks. Lindros is on the wing on the hash marks, and I'm looking at him. I'm like, this is Eric freaking Lindros right here. I got posters of this guy in my basement that I've emulated shooting pucks and pretending to be an NHLer like him. And so it was almost like you're caught in an awe where you're frozen. And the cool thing is once you stop thinking and you start playing, you almost feel like you're one with them and that you can play the game. It was pretty cool to line up next to him. But that was my first aha moment. Like, holy smokes, this is happening.
Not a bad name to be lined up against, Stay. Hey, I know you're not the goal scorer type, but you did tuck a couple there. Walk me through that first goal. Who was it on? How did it happen?
First goal, Marty Biron. It was my first goal against Marty Biron. And oddly enough, we were on the PK. We were in Buffalo towards the end of the year. I think it took me till March to score my first goal. So that might tell you a little bit how much of a hot hand I had. But it was in March. We're on the PK. I was out there with Nick Boynton. He kind of faked to dump it down the ice for an icing. And then Glenn Murray kind of took off the boards. And he dished it over to Muzz. And nobody else was kind of heading back with him on Buffalo. So I jumped into the play. He dished it over to me, a little sauce in my forehand. I pulled it back, gave a little fake, and then went top shelf on Marty Biron. So it was a pretty cool moment. I think we ended up losing the game, but pretty cool moment to have your first goal on the PK, something that I always took pride in.
Yeah, loss is fine. You got on the score sheet. That's all that counts, right? Russian mentality. Throw it on for one game at least. Hey, you made a couple of stops in the NHL. Now, obviously, you're up by Boston. You know, you played in Vancouver. You got to experience the Canadian market. Where was your favorite road place to play? I'm not talking about going after the games. I'm talking about in-arena atmospheres. Where's the best barn in the NHL?
The best barn has got to be Montreal. I mean, it's just the fans, the Olays, the stands go straight up. They're packed in, 20,000 plus. They're all over you. They're yelling the whole game. They're cheering the whole game. And I came in with Boston, right? And so the rivalry was huge. All the playoff rivalries they had and just the intensity of every game and walking into that building, the fans giving you crap on the way to the rink when you're walking in. Just a little stuff like that and warm-ups, the signs, making fun of players and whatnot. Montreal, just the passion up there for the game and how intense they are getting into the game and yelling and chanting the whole game. It's a great place to see a game, and if anybody gets a chance, that would be like the one place I would suggest go catch an NHL game.
Such a shame that they couldn't have a packed barn for the Stanley Cup final. That still pisses me off a little bit, but we won't dive into that. Alps, so I got to ask, and you face some tough customers there. I've seen your hockeyfights.com list, and I remember you chucking them with a few guys. Who was the toughest? Who was the one guy when you dropped the gloves, you were like, I was not prepared for that?
Well, first, I want to clarify that I think I went like 0-20 in all my fights, so I don't think I won many.
I saw some videos of you throwing a couple.
But my first fight is my first NHL fight, and I fought Ty Domi by accident. So he's in the corner, and the puck's in the corner, and I this is one of my first couple of games. I think I got sent down for a week or two when Joe Thornton got traded, and they brought in a couple of players, and then they brought me back up. So it was my first game back, and we're in Toronto, and I'm out there, and I'm a madman. I'm going after anybody, don't care who it is, cross checking, whacking, hitting, ready to do anything, and I made the mistake of giving a little cross check, giving the business to Domi, and he turns around, and he's like, "Really, kid?" And I'm like, I just keep going, right? So the play goes on. We kind of push each other back and forth, and then he goes, "Let's go." And I said, "Hey, let's go, man." We dropped it. We started chucking. It didn't last long, but the cool part about it was once we got to the box, and the refs closed the doors, you know, I'm looking straight for it because I don't want to hear from Domi because I don't want him to challenge me again at center ice. And he starts yelling over. He's like, kid. And I'm like, F you, leave me alone. Like, whatever, like, screw you. And he's like, nah, kid, like, I'm trying to give you some pointers. I'm like, all right. And so he was kind of giving me some pointers about, you know, hang back, tuck your shoulder, you know, come over the top, you know, pull, twist, and throw at the same time. So it was pretty cool, you know, to fight Ty Domi. It was my first fight, and then he's giving me tips in the box afterwards.
His pointer's like, hey, if you just shrink about 8 inches and put on an extra 25 pounds, then you can chuck him like me, eh, Alves? You want a guy?
Man,
what a guy.
He had no problem chucking him with me. That guy's the man. He was an animal.
Oh, and he could go toe to toe with anyone. He had some of the best balance. And again, I mean, those are some of my favorite guys to watch. I do love the old school hockey. I can't lie about that. Hey, let's talk about the current NHL now. I'm not sure how much you get to watch, but I want to ask you about one of the markets that you played in, and that's Vancouver. Obviously, one of the most passionate markets in hockey. But what's going on there? They can't get two of their superstars signed. You know, they bring in OEL, they bring in Garland. Is this a market that is just doomed to fail? Not as bad as Toronto with the whole media basis, but it seems that players might not want to actually play there anymore. What's your thoughts there?
Is it a hard market to play in? Absolutely. The media's on you. You know, they haven't won a cup yet. Do players not want to play there? I don't think that's the case. I think it is a hard place to play, obviously, given the microscope you're under there. And they did make some great changes, you know, this summer, getting rid of some of that dead weight, no offense, guys, on the contract, and bringing in OEL. I think Garland came up like...
Oh, we might have lost him there. Phone cut out for a second. We'll try to get him back on the line. Eric did chime into the conversation as well. Social media guy says, what a goalie to get it against. Biron was solid. We'll try to connect with Alberts here again. Get him back on the line. Couple of good stories.
Call has been forwarded to an automated.
Oh, got the call forwarded sign there. Maybe he's got an important call he's got to take. That happens. Hey, we'll play second fiddle if there's something more important in his life. Love the Ty Domi story, though. I mean, he's like, I don't want to hear from him in the penalty box. And all of a sudden, oh, here we go. Now I think we got him back there. Maybe someone more important.
Got you back. You guys there?
Yeah, I got you. I got you again.
All right.
No, it's
bad service over here.
Oh, it's all good. We got you. Hey, you know, we're speaking of Vancouver again in that market and everything. And one of the things I did forget to ask you about, and I got it down in my notes, it's the Stanley Cup series. You know, I know it's a Band-Aid to pull off, and it's not one you know exactly fun to talk about, but you're drafted by Boston, and you see them lift the cup in Vancouver. I want to know from your perspective what that's like as a player. Obviously, I've never been in that position, and I can guarantee you the hundreds of people watching this show haven't been in that position either. But what was it like for you? Because that's a rare case. You know, a team you got drafted by ends up, you know, beating you in the cup final.
No, that's a great question. And it's hard because there's always allegiance to the team and organization that gave you your first chance, right? And so they drafted me. They gave me a chance. They let me play. You know, obviously things only worked out for a few years there and moved on. But yeah, it's funny that ended up being the team that we're playing against. And so it's a hard pill to swallow for sure, because you see, you know, friends and coaches and staff over there that you knew pretty well. So, looking back now, you're happy for them in a way, but, you know, obviously it's things when you get to game 7 and you're at home and, you know, we just didn't ice our best game. But give Boston credit as well. So, yeah, definitely still stings. I've been in Boston now, so I'm remembering it quite often when I step into rinks and see banners and whatnot. But, you know, I still have great memories from that run. What a team we had, what a season we had. So, you know, try to take the positives out of it. And it was a great experience to go through either way. So.
Okay, so I ranked, and this was last year, or I guess probably like 5-6 months ago. I ranked my favorite Stanley Cup Finals series, and I hope you can kind of take a look at this from an outsider perspective, but I think that's the third best Stanley Cup Finals series of all time, and that's kind of my life, not all time, but I'm not going to go and dissect the 1970 Stanley Cup. I'm not that old. But do you think that's one of the greatest Stanley Cup series of all time now that you can look back on it? Like, what? It was just heavyweight punches. Like, the Sedins are some of the best hockey players to watch. The team that Boston put together was second to none. You got Luongo, one of the greatest Canadian goaltenders of all time, going against Tim Thomas, essentially a nobody who came out of nowhere to steal the show in Boston. Like, when you look back at this, do you think that is actually one of the best Stanley Cup Finals of all time?
I would hope people think so. I mean, if you look at that series, there's so much just like BS going on. I mean, you look at the two top teams, the Vancouver Canucks, the highest skilled team in the league. The Boston Bruins, probably the most physical and toughest team in the league. You know, two opposites going head to head. There were suspensions, there were dirty hits, there was the fights, there was the supposed biting fingers, which I don't know where they came up with that. There were the fire alarms being pulled at the hotel, you know, people chasing after Lou before his pregame walks, the banter between Lou and Thomas and the media. And so I think everybody had something they could latch on to and kind of like, you know, keep them entertained, and especially the media had a blast with it. So I think on the ice and off the ice, it was just an awesome series as a whole. You know, two like I said, two opposites going at it, and the games were lopsided both times. We didn't play well in Boston, and then we come home and we played stellar defense at home until the last game. So that, and you top it off with, you know, the unfortunate events that happened in Vancouver after the game. It does leave kind of a lasting little bit of you know, memory in a lot of people's minds. Is probably one of those most memorable series.
Okay, wait. I got to run it back here because I don't know if I haven't heard this story before or what, but we got to talk about the fire alarms being pulled. Where was it? Give us some background. I got one more for you after. I know I've kept you long, but we got to hear about this fire alarm story.
Well, I mean, all right, I'll give the Boston fans credit. They're a passionate crew, but, you know, when we're getting fire alarms pulled in a hotel nights before games, you know, and you got to get up once or twice a night because the fire alarm's going off. It's call it gameplay if you're a Boston fan, but as a player, you know, you want the field to be, you know, pretty even going into a game and guys be able to go at it, you know, full strength. So it's just one of those annoying little things that happen. But that's just part of it, you know?
No way. So they're that scummy. Boston fans.
We couldn't leave the hotel without them just patronizing, just all over us.
Oh my goodness, that's funny. And yeah, I mean, we always call the Vancouver Canucks fans crazy for the riots after. I mean, that was just asinine. But again, you know, it's a very tumultuous franchise that has yet to win a cup. And hey, you know what? They're going to be pissed off. They're going to show their emotions. Not that I agree with how it happened, but it is what it is. I got to ask you, though, and this is a cool one, and I know Andy Sutton a little bit here, too. You know, he's up in Edmonton, good guy. But now you're with Vermeero, and you're the director of head protection. And I want you to walk me through kind of why you got involved with this and how you got involved with it. Obviously, I mean, it's unfortunate how your NHL career came to an end. You know, I don't want to be bringing that up too much. But again, I want to know what got you into this and what are you doing right now to help it out? Because it's awesome.
No, thanks for asking. And it's kind of a funny story how it all came together. But this winter, as you know, COVID hit, so we didn't have hockey in our town. And my son is skating now, playing hockey, and my daughter, and we were just out in the backyard, skating on the backyard rink, and you know, he fell down, kind of hit his head, like, "God, Dad, didn't leave this and that." And I'm thinking, there's got to be a more protective helmet than what he's wearing. And so I started scouring the internet and came across, you know, Cavs, and I custom made the order, custom fit helmets for kids or for hockey players. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, let me see this. So reached out to Cav, asked for, you know, some information, some testing, some impact testing, anything they give me. I kind of took it over, read it, looked at it. And randomly that week, former teammate Mark Mowers reached out and said, "Hey, have you heard of Vermeero?" I was like, "No." He's like, "Oh, they're doing apparel and custom this and custom that and jerseys and equipment. And they're the only ones selling this new Cav helmet. You know, it's the only soft shell helmet on the market. And impact testing's, you know, blowing everybody else out of the water." And I was like, "What are the chances these two are coming together?" And so I reached out to Sutz, I think, the next day. And, you know, we hopped on a Zoom call just to talk about you know, what Berbera was and how Cav was associated and how they partnered with them. And, you know, having something, like you said, with the way my career ended and what I've had to go through and going through with the symptoms and trying to get healthy, it's just something where I don't want this to happen to anybody else. You know, even your worst enemy, you don't wish a concussion or the symptoms on anybody like that. So if I can get this helmet on more kids, more players that play, well, any boys or girls that want to have more protection for their head or even pro players, you know, we're trying to get everybody in this thing just because it's going to offer 20 to 40% more protection. And again, it's more about, you know, protecting a player than, you know, making money or anything like that. So it's definitely something I could stand behind, and I'm hoping more people adopt it.
Now, I got one more question for you. I'm sorry to our producer, Bryce. I got to push our next guest, Adam, back here for a little bit. Because I got one more for you. And you bring up a great point about, hey, if I can give more protection to the kids, I want it. Now, north of the border, the helmets have to be regulated by CSA or whatever. And they don't do helmets like those Kev ones. They don't do, you know, for goalie helmets, it's a big one where Warwick defenders, like the top-of-the-line products that the NHLers are using for the best safety in the game, they're not regulated by the Canadian Sport Association, whatever, because the big money companies like Bauer, CCM, Reebok, Warrior, they're paying so much money to be on the shelves. What's your thoughts on that? Because to me, it's sickening. I always used the best of the best, and if that meant I had to fake a stupid sticker on the back of my helmet or get one for someone else, I was going to do that. I mean, that's the honest truth, Alps. Like, what's your thoughts on that? Because in Canada, it's becoming a joke where safety second fiddle to money.
No, you're spot on in Canada. You do have to go through CFA, and you know, we do have a waiver that we can sell helmets up there as long as you sign a waiver. You realize that this has not been certified by them. However, it is a stringent process to get the certification. We are in talks with them about going forward and the plan that would need to take place for us to be able to sell in Canada. But you're spot on. It's a tough environment right there, and what they're doing, you know, with the regulations up there. But I do think they're doing it all for the sake of protection and being able to regulate what people are having on their heads and then what they're wearing to protect them. So I think they have the best interest in mind. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. You guys want the best protection, right? And why can't you have it? So we'll kind of work around that and get some helmets up there to you guys eventually.
Well, hey, love what you're doing. Love how you're making the game more affordable with Berbera and all of that. Man, thank you so much for hopping on the show. Really appreciate it.
No, hey, guys, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Former NHLer Andrew Albert right there. Wow, a lot of stories from the Stanley Cup. You got fire alarms being pulled. You got Scrap and Ty Domi. You got your first goal on Marty Biron. We could have talked to him for hours. Get out of here. Hey, it's World Hockey, presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Visit Lordco's in-store truck centers at select locations. Cody Jansen, hit us up in the comments at World Hockey RPT. We're on 12-ounce sports as well. You can download the podcast at the Hockey Podcast Network. Coming up, if you missed any of that interview, we also got Adam Ermentrout. He's coming up after the break. It's a quick timeout on World Hockey Report.
Sport Travel Tours is the official tour supplier for the Spengler Cup Ice Hockey Tournament in Switzerland. Nestled amongst the stunning Swiss Alps is the exclusive resort of Davos. This December, teams from all around the world will compete in the world's oldest invitational hockey tournament, the Spengler Cup. Sport Travel Tours packages include incredible hotels, amazing tickets, and a New Year's Eve party in the mountains to remember. Check out sporttraveltours.com today.
Week 2 of football's in the books. Now it's time to get ready for week number 3 with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet $1 on any football game. Listen up because you don't want to miss this. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a $1 bet on any week 3 game to receive $150 in free bets instantly. If not, they got daily fantasy contests, and they'll give it all new customers a free shot at $1 million in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1
$1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
What's going on? We're buzzing. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Find a store near you at LordCo.com. We got a lot of stuff to get into here, but everyone knows my favorite hockey tournament is the Spangler Cup, and all the great people at Sports Travel Tours, they want you to experience it as well. If you missed the commercial, check out all the available packages at SportsTravelTours.com. Now, it's a controversial topic. Zach Rinaldo, unvaccinated. Columbus, per President John Davidson, said, hey, don't bother coming. Just go to the minors. You're on a two-way anyways. We don't want to deal with that. We asked your thoughts at World Hockey RPT on Twitter. Let us know. There's a couple of comments. We are going to get to them. I'll get to them in a little bit. Join the conversation anytime if you're watching Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you can comment. You're going to get your thoughts on screen. It's unfiltered. It's hockey talk. And we're going to bring on Adam Ermentrout here. Everyone knows him from World Hockey Report. Erm, I want to get your thoughts on Rinaldo, because this is a situation where you kind of have to understand everything in the world is going towards, if you're not vaccinated, you're not going to be able to live a normal life. That's what the government's regulating. That's what private business regulates. And for Zach Rinaldo, this could be the end of his hockey career because he is choosing not to get vaccinated.
Yeah, I mean, just not to be too political, but if you look at the numbers in Saskatchewan, it's like a solid 90-10 split of vaccinated versus unvaccinated cases. But yeah, I was listening to Bill Daly the other day, and he said he expects 15, maybe 10 players to not get vaccinated. And, you know, this kind of goes back to the double standard of the NHL and all sports, right? Like, where if that's whatever, Connor McDavid, who says, hey, I'm not getting vaccinated, then, you know, you still let him come to camp and do his thing. But the guy you signed to a two-way contract, 300 guaranteed, who's as outspoken as he's been on the whole thing, you know, it's probably not worth the headache and not worth the media focusing on him and taking the focus away from your team. And Columbus obviously has been through a lot. And also, yeah, so you don't want him there just being a distraction, I guess. And it's not like he's going to fight to make the team or anything.
And that's a team that, as you said, I mentioned it earlier, they have been through a lot this offseason. And, you know, it's tumultuous times for them, where a week ago, they just canned their assistant coach. They said, hey, Sylvain Lefebvre, if you can't do your job, you can't coach here. It's as simple as that. They're not putting up with anything. They're not taking any risks. And they said, hey, if you're not vaccinated, sorry, you are gone. Now, getting to the Twitter conversation, of course, hit us up anytime at World Hockey RPT. We're on 12 Ounce Sports. A couple of thoughts coming in. You asked there, Adam, you said, do you support NHL teams refusing unvaccinated players to come to training camps? This is all because of Zach Rinaldo. Kyle Crook chimes in, says 100%. The High Priest of Oilers Magic says, hell yes. Adam just sent a GIF of Napoleon Dynamite, so I would assume that's a yes, as does Leone. DP says yes. Ryan McKinney says absolutely. Kerry Reynolds says no. Didn't give any reasoning. Would love to see some reasoning there. I expected there to be a few people, maybe not 50-50, but 90-10 maybe. I expect to see a couple more no's in there. Would love to hear Kerry Reynolds' thoughts on why she doesn't approve of that. And Ryan Rentoul says yes as well. It'll be interesting to see, Adam, and I don't know what you've heard or if you've got any more information than I do, but there's going to be some issues, I think, with unvaccinated players crossing the border. I really think if they keep pushing travel restrictions back, it could be an iffy situation if things get worse.
Yeah, exactly. And once again, Bill Daly kind of said, like, it's not just you just message the government. They're like, yeah, you're good to go. It's a long process. And I mean, I kind of referenced this yesterday on Twitter if we're having the conversation that, you know, play-by-play guys, if they're not going to get vaccinated, they shouldn't have the right to do the games from home, right? Like, if we're watching the Blue Jays in this playoff race here and their play-by-play guy isn't vaccinated, he's in Florida, and Vlad Jr. hit the moonshot, and he's speaking like it's a fly ball until it gets out because he's not at the game, he can't see, and then when Dan Schulman's able to do the games in Toronto, you can actually see and, like, you just know he's at the game because he's He knows what's going on. He can see the field. Like, you know, it's a lot of guessing with guys being at home, and especially for hockey too. Like, so much happens behind the play and with just whatever. So much happens behind the play too, where, you know, I don't think it should really be an option. And obviously everybody has the right to their own choice, but at the same time, if, you know, you're one of 750 people or 2,000 people around the team, let's call it, like, you're probably just locked in your hotel room with no other rights, I guess.
It's a million times better. It's Cody Jansen, Adam Bermatrout with you live from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios. Follow us on Twitter. Connect with us anywhere you're watching on 12 Ounce Sports. Get in the conversation. Join it right now. Hey, we're going to talk. You brought it play-by-play, and I fully agree. It sounds so much better, and you can even hear it with the CFL when you got radio guys going to the actual stadiums. It's a bazillion times better. But I brought up Sportsnet earlier, and I want to get your take, because after 42 years, Jim Houston, he is retiring. And who are they going to replace him with? And is Sportsnet, and love Elliot Friedman, love a lot of the guys they've got on there, love Christopher Stieg, is Sportsnet going to be the third best NHL broadcaster this year? When you look at the lineup that ESPN's brought in, when you look at the lineup that TNT's brought in, are they now the third fiddle? Did they drop two spots over a summer?
Yeah, like, I don't know, man. Like, Jim Houston was great, 42 years, obviously pretty synonymous with a lot of great calls, but he's out, so now it's Chris Cuthbert, who I'm assuming they gave. They probably knew that this Jim Houston thing was in the works. So it's Chris Cuthbert. They lost Dave Randorf to the Lightning a couple of years back, and he was kind of their main late night guy for a while. And I mean, if they go to Hannah Ryan's thing, I mean, people seem to like him. I don't really have an opinion, but people seem to like him. So yeah, but then you look at TNT, ESPN, they brought in all these big names. Like is Gordon Miller doing the games for ESPN? Nobody really ever said anything about that, but I'm assuming so. And then, you know, they got the old NBC kind of MSG Network Plus guys like Brennan Burke, who's done a really good job, and obviously Leah Hextall and stuff like that. So yeah, I don't really know. It all started to kind of go downhill when Sportsnet just kind of threw Bob Cole aside, and now it's like, okay, is the Flames guy Rick Ball, I saw he was getting the national games, like where's it gonna go?
Well, Chris Johnson's not there either. You mentioned Rick Ball, and I would say that he's probably next up. I may be a little biased to think that Michaels
gets playoff series. That's the only because he's gotten playoff series in the past where other guys hadn't. And I mean, Jack Michaels just kind of started it on TV, so I don't know if they're going to put him nationally, and he's kind of an Edmonton guy too. So
no, and I fully agree with that, but I'm just meaning of guys I enjoy listening to who are already in Canada. Jack Michaels is definitely up there. I know it takes a little bit of time to get acclimated to the TV side, and he's doing regional games only, but I think that there is a step in place for him to potentially go up there. Surprise, Pittsburgh didn't try to get him. But, hey, that's a story for another time. One other thing I wanted to ask you about, and we got to get this one in here today, is the Jonathan Drouin story. He comes out, he gives his story about what happened, why he stepped away. And, I mean, it's incredibly strong for a guy to step aside from hockey and say, hey, I need to focus on my mental health when my team's going to the Stanley Cup Finals, the thing that every kid dreams about. And we've had Connor Ingram on the show who stepped aside. He's one of your close friends as well. And I want to know your thoughts on this Drouin when you saw it, when you saw him speak out, because I'm not going to lie, it got a little dusty in the room. You could feel it in your throat being like, holy, this guy mentioned that, like, he needed to get his life on track. He wasn't having a fun life. It wasn't just hockey. It was bigger than that.
Yeah, I mean, like, those guys are under a lot of pressure, and, you know, shout out to them for going to get better. But I think one of the things that sucks for those guys is that there's so much backlash on Twitter, and, like, let's say they go away and, you know, they're not really on social media or anything. Their family still deal with it, and, you know, people go up to them and say, oh, like, what's been going on? Like, I heard this, I heard that, and there's so many behind-the-scenes things. Like, the amount of tweets you see where it's like, oh, Jonathan Drouin's away for doing these hard drugs or something, where it's, like, not the case. You know, he had his own things going on, and, you know, it's obviously very bad for people to speculate. So, yeah, I mean, good for him, and hopefully that helps other people too.
Yeah, I mean, the media can be absolute scumbags when it comes down to a lot of it. Hey, one of the things we didn't really bring up was there was a couple of PTOs signed today. I touched on it briefly, I think. Was Galchenyuk going back to the Coyotes and Bobby Ryan to Detroit? Did either of those shock you? Do you think Bobby Ryan's got a chance to get back in the league? I mean, I said it. I think that he's one of the most likable guys, especially after his whole life story, all the adversity he went through. And Galchenyuk, does he got another chance to get back in Arizona with how thin they are up front?
Yeah, I mean, for Bobby Ryan and also Tyler Ennis going back to Ottawa, those are kind of two rebuilding teams where those guys can help. They seem like very popular teammates, so it's not really a risk. For Galchenyuk going back to Arizona, I actually love what the Coyotes did this offseason. Like, they're full-on tank. Like, we'll take, like, they got Louis Erickson and Roussel basically to get the ninth overall pick, and they got Dylan Gunther, who had a really strong rookie tournament. But love what Arizona did. Yeah, sure, Galchenyuk can play. Like, I mean, I think they want to be bad, so whatever, you play, he gets, you know, half point a game, flip him for a fourth round pick, and, you know, at the deadline, like that type of thing.
Did you see the new renderings of their wannabe barn in Tempe?
Yeah, I did. Like, I don't know. Like, when's it going to be there? 10 years, 15 years from now?
Well, that's what they said. They're like, we hope it's going to be ready in 2025. I mean, we're almost in 2022, so that's like 3 years away now. They're going to build a rink in that quick when I don't think they've actually got full approval. They've just put in a bid. I think that's BS. Well, they're going to be there 2030.
It was a rink and like an entertainment, like a arena district thing. I don't know like how much you can get built in 3 years for the district around it too.
No kidding. So what, they're going to go and pump in $50 million into Veterans Memorial Coliseum just so that they can have a home for the next 7-8 years? I don't know. I'm on the fence. I'd say move them out of there. I'd say find someone in Houston. We'll take them. Let's bring on the Houston Arrows again. Whatever you want. I think the NHL's Arizona Coyotes child is done. I'm sick of it. Every year it's something new.
Yeah, it's Batman's like kind of his big project that he's trying to flip.
Now, we got like 2 minutes. We'll get you a set time here eventually, and we're gonna dive into the Oilers, the Flames, Jack Eichel. We got a million other things to dive into, Adam. You get any podcasts coming out here or what? Are we gonna get some Urban Trout specials in the near future? Maybe with the Seattle Kraken player or something.
Yeah, we'll have to. I mean, everybody's kind of busy with camp right now. Takes precedent over coming on with us clowns.
Just record him while you're playing Chell against him or something. We'll count it.
Yeah, or when they're offering me shitty fantasy football trades.
Aaron, buddy, have a good one. Appreciate you.
Thanks, man.
Adam Urmertrout right there. World Hockey Report's finest hopping on the show. Eric jumps in again. He says, but they brought back the Kachina. I love the Kachina. I love the white touch. I think that there is some good things in Arizona. Don't get me wrong, but it has been a dumpster fire on so many levels, on so many staffing occasions, with all the reports that have come up, with all the trouble they've been in. You kind of need a new fresh start. You kind of got to say, hey, let's wipe this franchise off here. They haven't done that much good for the league. I'm sorry. They've been fine. They haven't changed the wheel by any means. That's going to do it, though. Huge thanks to Andrew Alberts for hopping on the show. Really appreciate some of those stories. Anytime you can get a former NHLer on to talk about that, it's great. Coming up tomorrow, I teased it. We got a big one. And yeah, it'll be Christopher Steak. He's coming on the show. Maybe we got a world champion as well. We're still on the works with that one. Huge thanks, though, to Adam Urmertrout, who helps put on the show, Spangler Cup, all that stuff. You got to go check it out. Eric Krause, our social media manager. Bryce Buns, the lead producer of the show. Until next week, everyone, be kind, be better.